Hello and welcome to another live session here on Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel, and joining me today in the JPR studios, Oklahoma singer-songwriter, Mr. John Fulbright. John, welcome to JPR.
Great to be here.
You grew up in central Oklahoma, and a lot of online sites reference Okemah, which is also the hometown of Mr. Woody Guthrie. But you're actually from a much smaller community nearby, correct?
A suburb. There's no suburbs.
The bustling metropolis of Bearden, Oklahoma?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tiny place. My high school diploma says Okemah, and anytime you need to go get groceries or go to the post office, you go to Okemah.
Okay.
So it's just easier to say Okemah. But yeah, that's where Woody's from. I don't make it back there very often right now. Kind of on the road.
I can imagine.
Nonstop.
Your music's kind of blown up over the last couple of years. You're probably out on tour quite a bit, eh?
Yeah, I'm out.
Is Okemah sort of a town-sized shrine to Woody, or could you walk through it and not even know that he's from there?
It's kind of shifting. As the old guard decreases, the ones that would, that don't like long hair and call Woody a communist, the less of that there is, the more... there's a couple of murals, there's a small statue, there's a Woody Guthrie Street, if you look at the sign. We have a festival once a year, but there's no real, museum or anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's not pamphlets handed out that say, go visit Okemah, the home of Woody Guthrie.
Gotcha. John Fulbright is my guest live on Jefferson Public Radio. His newest album is called Simply Songs. I want to talk about the debut and the splash that your debut record had when it first came out. But before that, how did you end up getting into music? Was your family a musical family?
No, not a musical family at all. I wished I could give you some, kind of a light bulb moment as to, how I got into songwriting. But it was a slow process. Where I live, for at least kids, there's not a lot to do if you don't play football or work. I'm very lazy. And so I just kind of sat around and played the piano a lot.
And you had a parlor piano in your home, right?
Yeah. Well, and my grandma had a piano in her place, and that's where I'd spend most of my time. She'd watch soap operas all day, and I'd go play the piano, and she'd just turn the TV up as loud as it would go. And I could just play, for hours and hours, and no one would tell me to shut up. And so, that's where I learned a lot of stuff, sitting at that piano.
I read a story that your school bus rides are where you discovered the writing of Edgar Allan Poe, and that his writing and mood and mentality led you to the songs and music of Townes Van Zandt. Is that a true story?
Yeah, I was a depressed kid. I liked to read stuff that made me look, worldly and smart and... So I'd grab all these poetry books and read it in hopes that somebody would see me reading it and then think I was very smart.
And did it work?
I don't know. But I did read a lot of that kind of stuff. A lot of these poets with really strict meter. And then eventually I stumbled onto Townes and all of his very strict meter and prose and all that stuff. And I try to mimic it.
John Fulbright is my guest for a live session here on Jefferson Public Radio. The new album is called Songs. What do you want to play first?
Talking about home, let's play Going Home.
Bitter hearts from bitter ends, crooked lamps from crooked men's. The sun stopped shining, I'm going home. Oh, easy come, easy go. The more I learn, the less I know. My ears stop ringing, I'm inside my shoe is where my soul is slipping through. The sidewalk ended, I'm going home. Well, when I left, I had a choice, lose my mind or lose my voice. The voice stopped singing, I'm going home. Well, I met love, love met me, then we disagree. The rain stopped falling, I'm going home. Well, I walked through deserts, I sailed on seas, where the snow won't burn, the sun will freeze. I'm off to walking, I'm going home.
That is John Fulbright live in the studios of Jefferson Public Radio. Going Home is from his new album called Songs. Well, let's go back in time a little bit to, I gather, probably around 2011, when you were putting together a collection of what surprisingly were demos, right? The songs that ended up on your first record were not really fully fleshed out arrangements. They were demos.
Yeah, I was in Norman, Oklahoma at a pal's studio with some friends that were musicians, and we were just gonna go in and I don't know, just recorded like maybe four songs to go, like, I don't know what we thought we were gonna do with them, hand them out to somebody in Nashville, who knows. But we got, you know, two or three songs in and realized that this is the record, so we had to switch from demo mode to record mode. And it's kind of the little record that could for a little while.
Well, yeah, fast forward. This thing ends up getting nominated for a Grammy Award for Best Americana Album, and it is pitted up against Avett Brothers, Mumford & Sons, and Bonnie Raitt, and your collection of demos.
And my little record that...
Congratulations.
...that costs less than probably what those guys get paid in for one night, yeah. You know, on the road.
How'd you find out about that you had been nominated?
So I got called. David Macias at 30 Tigers called me up, and I was home for like one night before I had to get back on the road, back in the minivan. And so I was scrubbing my bathtub, and I had gotten up. The fumes were getting to my head, and I got up and checked my phone, and it was David, and I called him back, and he said, congratulations. And I was kind of going, you know, for what? And he said, you know, get your red carpet clothes ready because you're going to the Grammys. And my first question was, do I have to go? You know, because it was terrifying to me to think. I was like, I don't have clothes to wear for something like that. But, you know, living out in the sticks, like, I hung up the phone, and I think that most people my age, if you find out something like that, you go hit the bars and call all your friends, you know. But I just kind of went back to scrubbing my tub because there wasn't a lot to do, you know. And I celebrated eventually, but just not that night.
Yeah, and you did go out, and then you also performed.
Performed with my friend Terry Ware. Oh, that was nerve-wracking. That was to be on a stage and to play, to look out and see, like, you know, Brian Wilson just sitting there.
We always talk here at the station that the Grammy performances that we want to see are the Grammy performances that never make the telecast.
That's it.
You know, it's all the stuff from earlier in the day of all the specialty categories and the great bluegrass and jazz and blues performers.
Well, that's where the music is. But I got to say, I watched most of the main show. I got a ticket and I got to go sit and watch. And that was a spectacle. That was one of the more spectacular spectacles I think I've ever seen. Yeah. It was pretty crazy. Musically, though, not so much.
What is it about Oklahoma that creates country music superstars? Mm. I mean, Carrie Underwood, Miranda Lambert, Blake Shelton, Ronnie Dunn, Vince Gill.
Toby Keith.
Yeah, what's with Oklahoma?
I don't know. It's far enough away from a music industry that, I don't know, people aren't born into it. I'm making all this up on the fly, but I feel like it's like, You work harder to get all the way to Nashville or all the way to L.A., you know, when you start out right in the middle. But there is a long heritage of musical geniuses in Oklahoma. I'm really proud of Oklahoma in that way, just because, God, there's so many. We've got Leon Russell and Roger Miller and J.J. Cale and, you know, all these guys that are just Bob Wills, these innovators, and they all came out of this little state.
So following this Grammy nod and the trip, obviously you have been out on the road a ton. What has been the biggest change for you between hanging out at home in a town of under 200, scrubbing a tub, and visiting probably almost every state in the country, playing in front of crowds?
Almost. I read a Towns Van Zandt interview the other day, and they were asking, it was right before he died, and they were asking him, how's life on the road? And his response was, you either make yourself at home or you go home. Hmm. And that's exactly what it feels like. You have to be able to make everywhere you go. You know, it's living in the moment, I guess, is kind of a lot of that, where it's like everywhere you go has to be home for that night, and you have to accept that.
Have you yet?
Yeah, I'm getting there for sure. Oh, and I long to go home. When I get there, I'm there for about 3 days, and I got to get out of there.
You've said you have to be home to write. Is that still true?
Yeah, it is, unfortunately. And I don't know. I'm trying to change that. I'm working on that.
John Fulbright is my guest live on Jefferson Public Radio. His new album is called Songs. John's website is johnfulbrightmusic.com. What do you want to play next?
There's a song called Keeping Hope Alive. Days, cliches and throwaways, trying to learn better ways, but it's getting harder to survive. Change moments that rearrange, and the biggest fight that reigns is called keeping hope alive. Pain and pride, tears I've cried alone every day. We go running on a razor blade, sewing up the edges frayed, waiting to arrive. While joy is little Lord Fauntleroy,
sitting in his lazy boy. Keeping hope alive. Pride and pain cloud my brain. I wait for change. Moments that rearrange. The biggest fight that remains is called keeping hope alive.
That is John Fulbright live here on Jefferson Public Radio. Keeping Hope Alive from the new album called Songs. I want to ask you about your songwriting. On the first album, quite a few songs dealt in a way with faith. Was that a big part of your upbringing?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was a lot of stuff I had to kind of write about at that point. I don't really have to do that now. But yeah, it was. I mean, it's Oklahoma.
Yeah. Tell me about your perspective on songwriting in terms of writing very specific stories about specific events and people, or more vague stories about things where you don't really necessarily use hard examples, but you just kind of reference things. Because you've taken a pretty hard stance on your perspective on doing that.
Well, I don't write story songs per se unless it's my story. Because, you know, it's easiest to write about yourself. It's vagueness that I don't like. I can listen to songs and walk away from them and say, I have no idea what that person was talking about. Mm. They were talking about something in their life that did not translate.
A lot of songwriters tend to do that in order to leave it up to the audience to interpret or come up with their own decisions.
Yeah, but
right?
That's lazy to me. That's just, you know, you can do that in any other, you know, I mean, I don't like that in visual art, you know what I mean? It's like, I want to at least know what the thing is that I'm looking at instead of, you know, come up with my own example of what this thing is. Shel Silverstein said something about that. He's like, you can't chase somebody down the street and say, all right, now let's go get a cup of coffee and I'll tell you what I really meant to say about, you know, you have to say it then. And if you can't say it then you failed. You need to start again.
Hmm. You were talking about putting together that collection of demos for the first record when it came out. Something that I also read that you learned from Townes Van Zandt, that songs can outlast you. So you better start taking songwriting seriously. Was there a light bulb moment for you in terms of taking songwriting seriously? Was it after the Grammy nod and you realized, wow, there are a lot of people paying attention to what I'm doing and what I'm saying?
It's mostly just the fact that I'm a bigger music fan than I am a writer. I don't have to write songs, you know. I sometimes I need to.
What would you do if you didn't?
There's all kinds of stuff. I've tried, you know, I'm trying to do watercolors right now. But like, I like listening to music. That's what I've always done. Oh, I listen to records, and I it's like sustenance, you know, going through that stuff. And all these great songwriters, that's what means the world to me, is that stuff. And I figured that out, you know, fairly early on. If you write a good song, there's a small chance that you'll die and it'll still be around. And that's a really awesome thought, because it's kind of a form of immortality in a way, which is, you know, That's a heavy thought, but it's a cool thought.
Let's talk about the new record a little bit. You called it simply Songs. Mm-hmm. That's about as straightforward and not vague as possible, I guess, right?
I didn't know. Yeah, I could have called it the blue fog rolling into the water. You know, I didn't want any preconceptions in this, but it's exactly what it is. And I, you know, it's a slow record. It's a slow burn. I think it gets better the more you listen to it. I was actually terrified of that when we put it out. I went, man, this thing's just too slow. There's too many like ballads and stuff. But I like all these songs. I think they're really strong. I think they're stronger than that first record.
For folks that are tuning in for our live session today that aren't familiar with your record, there is quite a bit of piano on the record, about half the disc. Mm-hmm. Does one instrument or the other, piano or guitar, feel more comfortable to you?
A guitar is more comfortable to carry. I'm a piano player. I love playing the piano. And you don't, you know, unless you have got a little keyboard you're traveling around with, you don't get to play a lot of piano on the road just because, you know, the venue doesn't have one or it's out of tune or they're going to charge you for, you know, it's... that's what one of the things I like about being at home is I just sit around and play the piano all day. It's fun.
Do you ever find yourself just sitting at home playing guitar?
Not very often.
Really?
Yeah, not anymore. But there's, you know, you fall in and out of love. Somebody will teach me some like new weird tuning or something, then I got to go sit out in the woods and do that for 2 weeks straight and try to write a song. But eventually I always go back to the piano.
Have you been whistling your whole life too?
Apparently, yeah, and I didn't, you know, I threw a couple of whistle solos on this record, and people have been, it's been like a topic of conversation. People like to talk about these whistle solos, and I thought everybody could whistle, but apparently...
They cannot.
Apparently not. I'll tell you who can whistle, Patty Griffin.
Yeah?
She is one of the finest whistlers I've ever heard, and she never does it on stage. She said that she tries, but she can't stop laughing.
And if you crack a smile, the whistle's gone.
It's gone.
It's true. John Fulbright is my guest today for a live session on JPR. His new album is called Songs. John's website is johnfulbrightmusic.com. You did Letterman recently.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit different scenario than doing a live session here at JPR. What was that night like for you? Or afternoon, I guess, is when they tape it, right?
Yeah. It's cold. It was 47 degrees in the studio. He keeps it...
Really?
It's like a meat locker in there. Yeah, you can see your own breath. It's crazy. It was, it's a lot smaller than you think it is. It's tiny, tiny, tiny. And if you watch him, when you watch the show, when he walks out, there's like about 9 different camera angles on him. It makes it look like he's walking all the way to his desk. It's like, I mean, it's 4 steps. The band's in a tiny little box. I mean, like about the size of a refrigerator box. Like it's a really small stage. But it's really weird, too, because you stand up there and look around and go, how'd they fit the Beatles up here?
Well, John, thanks a lot for coming and visiting with us today.
Absolutely.
You got time to play one more?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
When You're Here. Ever changing, ever moving, ever finding, ever losing, every moment of our choosing bears a cost. And as for lonely, I can show you how to live a life alone. All it takes is getting used to getting lost. Some are lovers, some are leeches, some are flings on sandy beaches, some are silent till the chances are all gone. The Queen of Hearts dreams a lover from that cold, cold king above her, while the Joker makes his bed up all alone. Don't I feel like something when you're here? Don't I feel my lungs losing air? Well, don't I feel like I can show you I'm the one you can go to when you need another heart? I feel like something when you're here.
in my heart stands a scarecrow. And if he's hurt, he doesn't say so, and he chases everything he loves away. But at night, when it's colder, there's a bluebird on his shoulder, and he whispers that he'll hold her one bright day. Don't I feel like something when you're here? Don't I feel my lungs losing air? Well, don't I feel like I can show you I'm the one you can go to when you need another heartbeat near? I feel like something when you're here.
That is John Fulbright live on Jefferson Public Radio. His new album is called Songs. You can get more information at johnfulbrightmusic.com. John, it's been a pleasure to meet you. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.